The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, and he led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's called a spoiler. You're in the middle of a great book or a great movie and it's something you're really getting into and you're hoping to finish soon, but then suddenly someone comes and completely spoils the whole thing for you by telling you how it all ends. Anybody ever have that experience? Yeah? There was a plot with suspense maybe or a strange twist and you can't figure out how it's going to end and you can't wait to get there. Maybe you're worried about what's going to happen with a favorite character and now it's all been ruined because someone spilled the beans. Maybe there's some of you who actually like spoilers. You don't mind someone telling you what's going to happen. You'll still go back and finish the book or the movie, and some people actually enjoy the story more that way. Some people actually enjoy the story more if they skip to the end first. There are some people who read the end of novels first. I know, some of you are like, what, why? But it's true, there's some people who do that, but most probably don't, and that's why they call it a spoiler. Knowing the end before you get there just spoiled the whole fun of the book or the story or the movie for you. Well, today's scripture is a spoiler. Jesus shows the end of the story before we even get there. Jesus took three of his disciples, Peter and James and John, up on a mountaintop, and there he showed them the end, the whole plot of the story. That Jesus is God's son with incredible power, even power over death. Throughout this season, we've been reading through the first chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. And even in just that one chapter, the Gospel gives us a window into who Jesus is. He is the beginning of the good news. He is the presence of God. He is the leader and the heavenly authority. He is the restorer and the healer. But Mark bookends all of these descriptions of Jesus with one title at the beginning of the story and at the end of the story. Jesus is the Son of God. At the beginning of the story, a voice from heaven at his baptism identifies him as God's son, the beloved. And that same voice today declares from heaven, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." There is so much in this scripture about Jesus' transfiguration that describes what the disciples see. right? And that's why it's the story is called a transfiguration. As Balin shared with us, it's a fancy word for change, right? He was changed before them. And so there's so much in this story that you can visualize when you hear the story. Jesus was changed somehow. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone on earth could bleach them. And then there was Elijah and Moses there, and there was a cloud that overshadowed them. All these visual things are going on. And they're Mark's attempt in his gospel story to try to describe what happens when Jesus is fully revealed for who he is. And we could try to understand, we could try to explain all of these things that happen at the transfiguration. We could go on all day long and really never fully understand it. But whatever it is that happened there, Jesus shows them the spoiler to the whole story, that he is human, and yet, here's the spoiler alert, even for a brief moment, he was changed before them. They saw the fullness of God's kingdom and God's glory right there in his person. They saw what all the prophets before them had been saying about him. And that's evident by this presence of Elijah and Moses there with Jesus. But then that was all over. When all that was over, the gospel says that suddenly when the disciples looked around, they saw no one, only Jesus. And I think that's really what's more important to understanding this fantastic event, this thing that Mark could hardly describe and we could hardly understand. What's more important to understanding this event is only Jesus. In fact, maybe the spoiler isn't about what we see when we hear the gospel, but about what we hear, this voice from heaven saying, "This is my son, the beloved, listen to him." Because that voice promises that while we may know Jesus by many different names and many different actions, the most important identity is that Jesus is the Son of God, who's taken on flesh to live among us, to be one of us. And yet, as the Son of God, he contains God's glory and power and perfect love, all of this to be able to connect us to God. And this is a spoiler, this transfiguration, because Jesus wants the disciples to know the end of the story. He doesn't want them to have to wait until the next season or leave them with a cliffhanger, because in the next season of this story, there will be great suspense and fear. Jesus will die a terrible, violent, painful death, and his disciples, all those who follow him, will feel alone and afraid. But he wants them not to feel overwhelmed by fear and death and chaos. Knowing that in spite of whatever terrible things can happen in the world, the Son of God is in control. So listen to him. Listen to his promise that he will be with you even to the end of the ages. Listen to his promise of the Holy Spirit that will bring his very real presence in your life even after he has died. Listen to his promise that he will, in fact, be raised from the dead. He will defeat death so that you will know abundant life. Now, of course, they miss it, the disciples. You know, they hear his words, they hear them, but they don't listen. Jesus has given them the spoiler, but they still don't understand. They're going to have to live through the end of the story before they will really understand. Reminds me of one of the stories of one of my favorite movie directors and producers, and I always pronounce his name wrong. M. Night Shyamalan. Oh man, I knew I'd do this. M. Night Shyamalan. Shyamalan, right? I'm going to get some lessons from Noel afterwards. you can look him up and figure out how to pronounce his name. That's embarrassing. But He's known for movies like The Sixth Sense or Unbreakable. He's got a lot of movies, but he's known for creating these stories that have these twist endings that couldn't have possibly been predicted during the storyline. And sometimes even if someone tells you that what the end is like, it really doesn't make sense until you see it, until you've been there. In most of his movies, the endings completely put a whole new twist on the entire plot, so much that you actually want to go back and look and watch it all over again, because everything changes with the way that ending happens. Everything before that twist ending takes on a whole different meaning. In his first movie, The Sixth Sense, for example, you follow a psychologist who's working with a child who believes he sees dead people. And so the psychologist encourages him to use his gift to help them. But it's not until the final scene of the movie that you learn that this child psychologist himself is actually dead and has been through the whole movie. The child he's working with is the only person who actually sees him and talks to him. But you don't find that out until the very end, and it's such a surprise ending that it leaves you. You have to go back and watch the whole thing over again to see, what did I miss? How did I not know that this guy was dead the whole movie? By the way, I just gave you a spoiler, but that film is from 1999, so if you haven't watched it, you know, by now, you may not anyway. Jesus gave away the spoiler at his transfiguration. But the disciples will have to live it all the way through the ending before they're really going to understand. This is why throughout Mark's gospel, I've had so many people asking me this in Bible study or in conversation in this last month or so. Throughout Mark's gospel, Jesus is telling people not to tell anyone. And in fact, even in today's scripture, the scripture says, as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered those three disciples who were with him at his transfiguration to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. He told them that they would experience his death and that after 3 days he would rise from the dead, but they still won't have any idea what to do with themselves. They'll lock themselves in a room together in fear. And like a good book or movie, the things that happen and the clues that are spoken really don't make sense until that very end. But finally, the resurrected Jesus will come to them. Finally, they will understand that God has power even over death. Finally, they will understand that the God of life comes to them no matter what mistakes they may have made, no matter how little they may have understood this, no matter what fears may have overwhelmed them. So the spoiler in today's scripture is just as much for us, those who already know the end of the story and yet still may struggle with it too. At Jesus' transfiguration, we get this glimpse of who Jesus really is. We see God's glory and God's kingdom shining from him as if it could not be contained. We hear this command, listen to him. And when we do, we hear the promise of resurrection and new life for all who follow Jesus. We hear that while Jesus was human, he was and is the Son of God who comes down the mountain to be with us, to walk with us, staying close enough, close to us through all of life's circumstances. We hear that promise again and again, and yet we're often like those three disciples. We hear the promise. We may even witness incredible things that could only happen by the power of God's Spirit. And yet, when terrible things happen in life, many times we sink into fear. We don't know what to do with ourselves. We forget. We may not even trust. We wonder why God has abandoned us. But the God of life promises to come to us. The God of life is with us, raising us up through all of life's circumstances. The God of love surrounds us with community and people to show us God's presence and a hope that shines through the darkness. So it turns out that this story is not only about the transfiguration of Jesus, about his change, it's also about our transfiguration, the way the power of the Christ changes us and all who follow Jesus. Because when the resurrected Jesus comes to us, whether in the promise of the gospel or in other people who show you good news, or in worship here or in the sacraments, however Jesus comes to you, the dazzling white light of the kingdom and of God's love shines on you and through you. It changes you. How can it not? It brings you new life and a new hope. We might forget how the story goes, especially when we're surrounded by things that have us sinking in fear or anger or resentment. But the spoiler is that Jesus has gone to the cross for you, to be with you in your suffering, whatever that may look like. And that love transfigures you day by day to live as God's children and to share that same promise with others, even those who may not know it yet. Thanks be to God. Amen.